Good morning. Just like the kids, I have to get up from my chair, my seat over there, and go to Sunday school. Oh. So happy to be here today. Today marks my eighth lesson that I'm sharing on the Sermon on the Mount. It says lesson number 11, but it's correct. This is my eighth lesson. It has been challenging but fulfilling experience for me. And I thank Pastor Crocker for giving me the opportunity to take some of these lessons together with Brother Gobal and Brother Ming Fai during the time that Pastor Crocker is away. And as I complete my last lesson today, I feel the same sense of relief and joy that I saw in Brother Gobal's face as he ended his lesson on Job. You know, Job went through a lot of suffering. I could see it in Brother Gobal's face as well. You know? Today's lesson is on... 1 minute, huh? Today's lesson is on judging others. Do you know that although we do not have many lawyers in Heritage Baptist Church that I can count, we have no shortage of judges. You know what I mean by this? All of us, and myself included, have a tendency of judging others. This means looking at someone else, what they have done, they have said, and straight away we form an opinion about that person. We understand that this action in so-called judging others is a direct result of the way we have been brought up, which causes us to expect others to think and act in a certain way, like us. And as we grow up and we're exposed to different cultures in the world, we soon realize that that should not be the case, as there is diversity in peoples and cultures. However, when it comes to things in the Bible, there is absolute truth rather than subjective truth, where anyone and anyone can do what he or she wishes. So although we expect everyone in the church to do what the Bible says and commands, which ought to be the case for every Christian, we see a problem which is important enough for our Lord Jesus Christ to teach about in His Sermon on the Mount. So today, let us look at Matthew chapter 7. We have finished Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6. Now we move on to Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 12. Can you read with me, please? "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. But why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet." I'm sorry, I'm reading on, right? I'm reading on, but I lost you somewhere, huh? So apologize. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father God, we thank you for this time that we can continue this series on the Sermon on the Mount. And we thank you, Lord, that you have been teaching us things that you desire for your children, so that, Lord, we will be able to please and honor you. We will be able to do the things that you require of us. For the standard that you desire for us is not that of the Pharisees, which we will see shortly. Your desire is that we will be able to practice true righteousness in our lives. So this morning, as we look at the topic of judging others, we pray that you will speak to each and every one of our hearts and let us understand from your word what it is that you desire for us, so that, Lord, we will be pleasing and honoring to you in our daily lives and relationships with others, that we will not be self-righteous, we will not be hypocritical, and that, Father, we will be able to obey you and do your will. So bless in this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. From the passage that we have read, you might wonder why the Lord Jesus spoke, firstly, about judging one another, and then praying, and moving next to the golden rule. It's a little bit mixed up, right? In Singapore, we call it Roja. Carly, Brandon, Melinda, if you have never tasted Roja, ask Mrs. Bellew to bring you this afternoon to try. Okay? It's a salad. It's all mixed up. So why did the Lord Jesus put it all together in this passage? Well, the best way to understand this passage is to look at the last verse that we read, and that's in verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Remember that the Lord Jesus was referring to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of that day, and describing their self-righteousness and hypocrisy by saying to the people in Matthew chapter 5 verse 20, that some weeks ago, for I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus had been teaching about true righteousness that comes from trusting in the Lord Jesus for our salvation, leading to a drastic change, a complete change in our lives by the Holy Spirit who indwells us. This change will see the redeemed child of God living a life that will desire to meet the greatest commandment, which we read in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So let us come back to our passage that we have read. The first six verses, 1 to 6, focuses on the negative aspects of a self-righteous, judgmental spirit. And the next six verses, 7 to 12, focus on an attitude that is humble, trusting, and loving, as in the golden rule. So let's look at the first part, the golden rule gone wrong. How did it go wrong, and what do we mean by it going wrong? Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 2. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So, what do I mean by this? Don't be like the Pharisees who judge. Who were the Pharisees, and why do we say don't be like them? They were hypocritical, self-righteous, and arrogant. They thought themselves wise because they could find the minutest fault in someone's life. And while doing so, they were overlooking the great sins in their own lives. Their motive was not to help people or to love them, but to condemn them. They were extremely sensitive about the faults of others, but completely insensitive to their own sins. So what the Lord Jesus is forbidding us as His believers, as His children, is this pharisaical, self-righteous, hasty, unmerciful, prejudiced criticism. In other words, a critical spirit, which is the opposite of someone who is poor in spirit and meek, a peacemaker. Don't put ourselves in the place of God. When we judge, we are putting ourselves in God's place. When we judge others, we are acting like God. But the fact is that we are not the judge. We are the judged. Jesus is telling His disciples to resist the temptation to put yourself in the place of God, which we may be doing so unknowingly. Don't be a self-righteous critic. Remember that we are not superior to others. Remember that others, especially other believers, they answer to God, just like we do. So when we judge, we are placing ourselves above others. Next is, we should not put ourselves up here. We naturally think of ourselves higher or more than we ought. When the Pharisees brought the adulterous woman to Jesus asking what He would do, as He knew that Moses commanded in the law that such should be stoned, and they were hoping to catch Jesus, He said to them in John chapter 3 verse 7, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." We are not to judge other people without recognizing that we will also be judged in like manner. Matthew 7, 1-2, "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again." We see that the way I judge others will determine in some measure how I am being judged. If my judgment is just, I will be justly judged. If my judgment is unjust, then I will be judged unjustly. The standard I use with others is the standard that will be used with me. The Lord Jesus was warning that those who place themselves in a position of judging others should first judge themselves according to the same standards. And as we move on to Matthew chapter 7, verses 3 to 5. "And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or why would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." I think we know what is meant by a mote. A mote is a speck in your brother's eye, whereas the Lord Jesus says to remove the beam, the big log that is in thy own eye. So what we are called to do is that we are not to judge others, but instead we are called to be discerning. Jesus did not mean that by not judging others, Christians are not to use discernment. This is not the case. That means we must practice good judgment, righteous judgment, and, you know, ethical judgment. Believers are taught to judge whether teachers are true or false based on the kind of fruit that they produce. Matthew chapter 7 verse 20, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." You know, nowadays there are so many people who claim to be prophets of God, apostles of God, or men of God, and so on, and they are so convincing. But we are supposed to be wise. We are supposed to practice discernment and judgment, and we should know their preaching and, you know, be like the Berean Christians, check with the Bible. We should look at the fruits of their life. And in 1 John chapter 4 verse 1, it reads, "Behold, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out of this world." Matthew chapter 7 verse 6, now we go to a slightly different part of this passage. We have talked about not judging others, we have talked about discernment, being wise, and now we look at this part of a passage. "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." It is somewhat ironic that the passage on not judging is immediately followed by a verse that says we are to discern and to judge the pigs and the dogs. How many of you love pigs and dogs? I don't mean how many of you love pigs as pets and keep or eat dogs for your meal, or whatever is the way. How many of you love pigs and dogs? Alright, the thing here, Jesus, the Lord Jesus is saying is, don't be gullible. Jesus swings to the other extreme here by warning his disciples against being critics like the Pharisees. But then he warns from the opposite extreme of being a gullible sucker. Dogs. What do I mean by dogs? Dogs in Jesus' day were not pets. The thought of sacrificing a holy sacrifice of a bull and then taking a part of that holy sacrifice and throwing it to the dogs to eat would be the height of desecration. What about pigs? Pigs are no better. Pigs were unclean. Jews hated pigs. As an example, Antiochus Epiphanes, the king of Syria, captured Jerusalem in 167 BC and desecrated the temple by offering the sacrifice of a pig on an altar to Zeus, to their god Zeus. Both dogs and pigs were unclean and were scavengers. If you came between them and their food, you would get trampled. Jesus gives a balance to this teaching on self-righteous judgmentalism when he exhorts his disciples to have discernment. If you threw your pearls before a pig, do you think the pig would recognize its value? God's holy word is like a string of pearls. It is noteworthy that the Lord Jesus did not always give all his teachings to everyone. He spoke in parables to reveal the truth to those who had ears to hear and to conceal it from the self-righteous. And that's why some people cannot understand the Word of God, although it is our responsibility to still share with them. When the Gospel is mocked, the Word of God is abhorred, and people refuse to listen, then you should stop sharing the Gospel. You stop casting the pearls of God before the swine. It may be time to take the pearls of God elsewhere. There are plenty of people elsewhere who need the pearls. This doesn't mean we stop praying for the hard-hearted. This doesn't mean we don't try to show the pearls to our neighbors and friends and co-workers. We do. But when antagonism comes, take the pearls to the poor in spirit, not to the pigs in spirit. So what the Lord Jesus taught here is two different extremes. One extreme is that we are gullible, spineless, and naive. And as Christians, we should not be. We have the Holy Spirit in us. We have the Word of God to rely on. The other extreme is that we may become self-righteous critics who look down our noses at others. So regardless of whether you are tall or short, anyone can do that, but we are not to do that. Neither of these two extremes brings about the golden rule. The Lord Jesus is saying that self-righteousness leads to a faulty view of ourselves. Why? Because we see ourselves as right all the time. We must always have the last say. Others must take our opinion. And we can't see the lock, the giant lock in ourselves. We are blind to our own sinfulness. The self-righteous person rejects the gospel because he does not believe that he needs it. Meanwhile, they are annoyed with the petty sins of others. If you are here today and you sense no real need for Christ, then it is very likely that you have a giant log in your eye and you don't even know about it. We talked about the golden rule gone wrong. Now let's look at the golden rule gone right. And this is taken from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. The Lord Jesus moves from talking about being a critic to talking about prayer. We need God's help to follow the golden rule. We need God's help not to idolize money or to love money and to chase after money. We need God's help not to worry. I mean, there are many, many things which will cause us to naturally worry, but we are called not to be anxious. So we need God's help in these areas not to worry. We need God's help not to be a self-righteous judge. We need God's help to get over our self-prone superiority complex that I am better than others. And we need God's help to pray to do the things that he wants us to do. Jesus is describing how God models the golden rule to us. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the best example of the golden rule. He is good to us. He doesn't give us a rock when we ask for bread. He doesn't trick or despise us. This section on prayer needs to be interpreted in light of the golden rule in verse 12. It is one of the most encouraging verses in the Bible regarding prayer and God's tender loving kindness towards His children. God never tires of us. Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. I'm not talking about a blank check. God is not our genie who is dictated by our prayers, because that would make us God and God our servant. When Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock, he's saying that we should never grow tired of asking, because God never gets tired of hearing and answering. In other words, don't be shy. Ask God, for God is a good Father. He loves to give good gifts more than you do to your kids. The Lord Jesus is not suggesting vain repetition. He has already rebuked that in chapter 6, which we talked about last week. We shouldn't drone on and on with many words as if that helps. His point is that God never tires of us. Next, God is good and you can ask Him. James chapter 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. I'd like to share with you this quote that I thought was rather interesting. It says, if you don't spend much time in prayer, it is almost proof positive you don't know Him. If you knew Him, you would ask. Imagine being a leper today and not asking the doctor for antibiotics. The Lord Jesus said to the Samaritan woman at the well in John chapter 4 verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him. Look at the words, asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. So God is like a good father. Matthew chapter 7 verse 9-11. Or what man is there of whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? The Lord Jesus used these words, if ye then being evil. He was not speaking of specific fathers who do this, but of all fathers. He's making a comparison between the heavenly Father who is holy and earthly fathers who are evil. But even sinful human fathers like myself would never dream of tricking our kids with a live snake for their food. We would do anything for our kids. And yet even this strong love isn't to be compared with God's love for His children. God will infinitely outdo us in love and benevolence. So let's look at Jesus as the example of the golden rule. We've come to our last verse in this passage. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What we gather from here is that the Lord Jesus Christ is the supreme example of the golden rule. The golden rule meaning do unto others what you would have others to do unto you. Why do I say that He's the supreme example? The Lord Jesus suffered and died in our place. He loved us by denying Himself. The Lord Jesus put our needs before His needs. That's why He submitted to His Father's will after His prayer, "Not my will, but thine," and He prayed, "If it were thy will, lift this cup from me," right? So the Lord Jesus submitted Himself to the Father's will, and He went to the cross of Calvary for our sins. If God loves us like this, then we should love others the way we would love to be loved. So in conclusion, don't be a self-righteous judge with superiority complex. Rather, we should be like God and the Lord Jesus who has loved us. Our God is a generous, kind Father. And thirdly, in light of this, we have the strength, the power, the desire to happily apply the golden rule. We cannot do it in our own strength, but with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we can do so. The golden rule is a summary of the Sermon on the Mount. And we've been doing this series for the past 11 weeks. Love is a new commandment that the Lord Jesus gave. John chapter 13 verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Well, that brings us to another question. What is love? And that is probably another series which I'm not qualified to teach, but suffice is it to say that selfish criticism that we have learned about isn't love. Venting about others, that means picking on others, complaining about others, isn't love. Placing yourself in a place of God and evaluating others' motive isn't love. Thanklessness isn't love. So let's seek to be like the Lord Jesus Christ and to fulfill the law and the prophets, and to do to others what we would want done to us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time.